Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts, sports journalist David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves, chillin', talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd. It's Season 8, Episode 102. And Dave, Day 2 of the draft is in the books. And man, a lot to talk about. Certainly, I would say things initially went the way we thought. And in fact, I think we talked specifically about James Washington being a guy that the Steelers should look at in the second round. And then I won't say things got off the rails, but things certainly took a different turn after that.
Yeah, and remember Art Rooney II way back after they sent up the bat signal and Art Rooney II comes running out and gives his kind of end of the year press conference, and usually we get a few, maybe a nugget or two of kind of what to expect as far as the as far as the draft goes, and he said, I expect it to be a defensive draft this
right.
A defensive draft this year. And look, I mean, I know he doesn't know exactly.
Pre-free agency. So that was obviously, you got two guys there.
Right. He doesn't know exactly what's going to all transpire during free agency, as you said. And obviously the draft can go in different directions and all like that. But, and usually we get a nugget or two, a nugget or two from him as well, that we can look back and go, aha, that kind of thing. Or we should have seen this. And you can really do it with Colbert too. And really, and we'll get to this in a little bit, there were a lot of markings with Colbert that we'll go over that ultimately played into this year's draft here. But overall, a lot of people are surprised, fans of the team, analysts, media, what have you, and with good reason, because here we are right now with four Steelers selections. Three of them are offensive play. Three of them are all...
I would have bet your house. I would have bet all your money.
I'd be outside. You'd have to come. You'd have to get somebody. You have to get the Uber to come pick up me. Me and the wife and poor little Finley girl. Three out of four offensive picks. Two of them. I mean, let's face it. Two of these picks are, if things go the way we think they're going to go, they're not going to see the field for 2018 for sure. And
two of these picks took somebody's job that we didn't necessarily expect.
Yeah, but they're not. They still might not see the field in 2018.
No doubt. I agree. They're not going to see the field at all. But they took somebody's job who we thought was going to be on the team.
Yeah, exactly. So, and they have three selections left in day three. So you hit it off with James Washington there. And I guess we'll start getting into breaking down these picks so we can move this along. But we mentioned him yesterday. He's a guy we've been profiling on the site. He showed up in pretty much all of our, or nearly, most of our mock drafts at some point during the offseason there. A great character kid, probably not how you would draw up what you would think a Z receiver would be, with the they traded away Martavis Bryant.
They didn't draft Martavis Bryant.
Right, you would think 6'4", 4.44 speed, that kind of thing. No, they did not do that. I mean, he's considerably smaller, not as fast timed wise, but boy, David, can he, even so, he can stretch the field. Averaged over 19 yards per reception during his four seasons at Oklahoma State. He is a guy, great character. I thought Randy Feitner did a great job of describing him during the press conference. He's not a one-trick pony. He's not going to be a high-maintenance player at all. He is, you know, you would like to think that you would be able to move him around at some point, and they will, I think. But he's also a guy that I think you can get on the field right away, and that's something you and I kind of discussed yesterday. You know, we got to find, now that you've traded Martavis Bryant, okay, we're good with that, but you better find somebody you can get on the field.
Yes, has to play 500 snaps.
And I think he can, and I think Randy Feitner thinks that he can get on the field sooner rather than later. Great kid, was at the Senior Bowl as well. I think one of the things about him, when you look at his stats, David, and when you look at these wide receivers, 4 years of production, and that production, you know, seemingly increased every year. So really, what is there not to like about this selection?
Yeah, he's a mature kid. Maybe he doesn't have Martavis Bryant's upside, but he's a guy. Again, this is always the thing. When you drafted J.J. Smith-Schuster, who's 19, you're betting on upside, and you're betting on the maturity that you won't have an issue there, and it looks like the Steelers won huge on that. This isn't that. This is a different kind of cat, and as we talked about yesterday, he's a guy that I've watched and you've watched. If you watch Big 12 football, you see these guys throw it around the lot all day long. He's a guy that's in an explosive offense who's had big production all the time. And the thing, the reason, when you were listing names of guys who we were talking about in the second round, the reason I jumped at him is exactly what you said. Who is most likely, of all these guys, who's most likely to be able to step in and play immediately and contribute right away and pick up the offense as quickly as anybody else and do some of the dirty work? And that's the thing. He's not a 19-year-old kid who he's been around. He has been around, and he's done it, and he's been productive. And I don't want to say seamless. It's never seamless to go from college to the pros. But the reason I was focused on him yesterday is because it would be the quickest transition. And that's why I think it's an A-plus for the Steelers in terms of getting a guy who is going to help you right now fill that role. And, if somebody you ask me right now, who's going to have better numbers, James Washington or Martavis Bryant? Flip the coin.
Wow.
I expect James Washington to have at least 40 catches.
All right. And here's something else. Here's the thing about the discussions that you and I have, and probably both good and bad that they're not kind of scripted and planned out is, we learn from each other, I think, and kind of get ideas off of each other from show to show or week to week, whatnot, where we go, oh, okay, I didn't think of that, and then we bring it up in later shows. Well, there's one thing you and I discussed yesterday about not a Steelers player, but about a Browns player, Baker Mayfield, that I think plays great into this discussion about James Washington. And that's the fact, David. We said yesterday, when you look at that group of quarterbacks or this year's quarterback class at the top, and you say which one has the body of work where you know right now that you know exactly what you're getting, it was Baker Mayfield, right?
Yep. Yep, no doubt.
Okay, can you not look at this year's group of wide receivers, which are which arguably not as sexy as the, let's say, previous 3 or 4 years? Can you not look at this list, maybe the top 10, which I think James Washington is in? Can you not look at this list and say, of all the names on it, we know exactly what we're getting with James Washington, just like we did with Baker Mayfield?
It's a really good point. And obviously, look, guys stick around longer, guys, the number of snaps, the number of years, the number of catches. That's a really good point. You're not going to be – look, I don't want to – like, you know, try to draw comparisons to guys, and I don't – you know – Manny Sanders isn't the right comparison. I don't know exactly who the right comparison is. But you know, I don't know how many Pro Bowls James Washington's going to get to. I'm guessing none. But I'm guessing that he's going to be, I think you hit it right on the head. You know exactly what you're getting. I think he is going to be an excellent second or third option. You know, eventually, you know, obviously he's not right now. He's, you know, maybe a third option, but I think he will fit in very well as the other receiver.
And look, the other name I talked about yesterday, wide receiver, DJ Chark, he's the opposite end of the spectrum.
Right. Absolutely. And obviously he went the next pick. The Steelers had their choice. Here's the thing is, look, if you had Martavis Bryant and it was all good, then you might take a guy who maybe is a little more risk, a little more reward, higher upside. But once you moved Martavis Bryant, you wanted to get the surest thing possible. So, yeah, I think you're dead on with your thought on this.
And I think what you just said was very key in all that. If you have Martavis Bryant in 2018, you can go the route of a DJ Chark because, you know, a guy with less than 70 career college catches, height, weight, speed, a guy that, boy, you really look at his film, you look at his measurables, and you say, you know what I kept thinking about DJ Chark throughout the pre-draft process, David? I kept thinking, man, what could too bad, you know, I don't have a direct line to Richard Mann, because I sure would like to know what Richard Mann would think of DJ Chark and what he thought he might be able to do with him, because he is that high upside player with not a lot of production. But yeah, you're right. Now that you don't have Martavis Bryant, You need somebody you can get on the field now. So that is James Washington. And I thought Randy Feitner did a good job too. You know, everybody wants to focus on that 40 time, that 4.50. Juju Smith, if anybody last year taught us not to focus on 4.5 40 times, is Juju Smith-Schuster.
But and the point there is that forever should sit with people. Juju caught that pass over the middle against the Lions at the, you know, 17, 18, 20 yard line, whatever it was. And he didn't run away from anybody, but nobody gained a step on him. I mean, he moved a little bit. He knew, you know, the great thing about that catch and run was Juju. It's just, you don't see this very often in football. It's just a straight 80 yard sprint, guys against guys. And he angled himself a little bit. He got away from the one guy making the move, and nobody caught him. And I don't give a damn if you run 4.3 or 4.6. That was impressive stuff. And what did you run? 4.54?
It was right around in there. Yeah.
Yeah, and so we all try to figure this stuff out. You talk about, you know, how do you play in pads? How, you know, do game speed versus tape? You know, versus Juju's. You know, there's not going to be I'm not going to question any of that stuff about Juju. And the flip side of this is Le'Veon Bell, and we talk about it all the time. Look, Le'Veon Bell's a great player. Le'Veon Bell's not going to run away from anybody. It's a feature of his. And if you're going to find one negative in Le'Veon Bell's game, is he's not gonna get open field at the 50 and run away. He's not gonna score. If a guy's with him or a step behind him, he's not gonna score. And you know, we'll see with James Washington, but you know, we saw it with Juju, and it was so impressive. And I'm not worried about James Washington taking the top off. And we, you know, it's a term we probably use too much. The Steelers now don't have Sammy Coates, and they don't have Martavis Bryant. And those two guys were known specifically. They were a certain type of receiver, very similar in many ways, in the sense of both big guys who can really fly. And the Steelers don't have that on the, you know, whatever you want to think about DHB. But the Steelers don't have that now in their top group of receivers. And it'd be interesting to see if teams play at all differently. But at the end of the day, give me the guy who can contest the catch, who you know is going to catch the football and get things done and be productive. And I think the Steelers receiver core is better today than it was 2 days ago? Probably not, because the upside of Martavis Bryant is so alluring. But I'm comfortable with where they are now.
I tell you what, you know, been in that face of how many times have we seen Martavis Bryant maybe not do things the right way that Ben wanted him done on a particular route or read a certain situation, you know, that Ben grimace that we've seen over the years. We've seen that a few times with him and Martavis Bryant, and I think two or three times last year. I think James Washington, obviously a smarter, I think, player should be able to pick things up and be more, responsible as far as his assignments go here. But a few other things to finish up on James Washington, and then we'll move along here. Randy talking about that 4.5 speed, he says, okay, but he's a 4.5 player every down, every play. I thought that was a great statement there, and he really talked about the physicality of how physical he is, not only mental makeup, but I forget how he worded it, not only mental or demeanor or whatnot, but also in you know, physicality, stature. What, I forget how he worded it. I don't have that quote in front of me, but he is a physical player. And you talk about getting on top of players, you know, stretching the field. He can do it. Okay, I mean, yeah, he doesn't seemingly run like a gazelle like Martavis Bryant, you know, kind of that effortless, I'm going to run away from you. He doesn't have that old crap visible speed that, say, a Mike Wallace did. But he can get on top of players, so you better be careful who you line up across from him. He was a big play machine for, like, 3.5 years at Oklahoma State. Just look at some of the big plays this guy produced. And look, another thing, look at the touchdowns, like 39 or something like that. Isn't that the goal of this game, is to score points? And he has found ways to get into the end zone. And the last point I would like to make about James Washington, David, do you need any lobsters cracked? I know you high roll and all like that. what's that place? Semicolon or what's that casino that you go to or resort, golf resort up there?
Semicolon.
I don't know. I know you like to eat there and eat the lobsters or whatnot. 9 3/4 inch hands, David.
Yeah, big hands. Big hands for James Washington.
That's some lobster crackers right there.
Okay, so no surprise in the second round that the Steelers go wide receiver. And then kind of, break the Twitter machine in the third round. Steelers move up. And the thing that's interesting here is, what did they move up to? Five spots?
Three.
Was it three? I think it's fascinating. First of all, again, I was wrong about something. I thought all six quarterbacks might go in the first round. I thought the first five would go in the top 15 picks. Lamar Jackson obviously went last pick in the first round. You get that fifth-year option. There's a lot of incentive to do something like that. That's the whole reason why I was talking about the Steelers moving back. I'm a bit shocked, honestly. I imagine the Steelers are a bit shocked that Mason Rudolph did not get taken in the second round. And all of a sudden, he's not – there are teams that need quarterbacks, and there are teams that don't need quarterbacks. We talked about guys who slide. Guys slid. Different guys slid, and you speculate as to why. How surprised were you that he was around when the Steelers were thinking about doing this? I mean, I'm shocked that he was not off the board in the second round.
Look, I've talked about this guy all – how long with you?
Since February, right? Months.
And the only question was, is he round one or is he round three? You know, I mean, is he late round one or is he round three? And then I think the whole supply and demand play. I guess a better way to answer your question is with another question. How much does quarterback need play into a quarterback's?
Yeah, a lot.
Value.
That's what surprises me, because there were still, look, Five guys got quarterbacks in the first round. Five teams got quarterbacks in the first round. But they're still, look, the Saints didn't take a quarterback. The Bengals didn't take a quarterback. There are plenty of teams that didn't take a quarterback that I perceive as being way more quarterback needy than the Steelers. I don't view the Steelers as quarterback needy at all, because as I've said, for 5 years now, Ben's going to be the quarterback in 2020. It's 3 years down the road. So, look, I don't dislike the pick, because I think there's value with the pick, but I am not. Don't put me in the camp of the Steelers just drafted their next starting quarterback.
No, but it is a lottery ball, a worthy lottery ball.
For sure, absolutely, and look. So basically, in my mind, you make me guess right now, Josh Dobbs just lost his job.
People think that I wanted the Steelers to draft a quarterback this year. My job is to try to prognosticate this stuff more than anything else. And that's why throughout, back in February, I would have bet you a lot of money that there would be no quarterback in the Steelers' future. Right after the season ended, I would have bet you a lot of money that quarterback would have not been in the Steelers' future.
I agreed. I would 100% with you.
Okay, but my draft study doesn't start really until the Steelers are eliminated and get into the Senior Bowl and all like that. And then, David, as I always like to do, I parse those comments I parse them too much. Kevin Colbert's comments off season. But as I progress this through this thing, and if you go back and listen to the podcast, and if you go back and read the four or five posts that I've kind of done centered around the quarterback position based on what Kevin Colbert has said, there were signs there, in my opinion, that he was seriously considering a quarterback. And if you're going to study quarterbacks too, and if this was just going to be one of those, we just want to work on the process and all like that, well, then you're going to go in and you're going to want to study Baker Mayfield, which I think Randy, I think Randy was at the, the Steelers had somebody, I think Randy was at the Oklahoma Pro Day. But, UCLA, USC, aren't you going to want to try to go up close and personal with those guys as well, too? If you look the year prior with Dobbs, they studied, four, five, six of those later round guys as well, too. Just some of the things that Colbert said and the way he said them, and if you go back and read that post I did, the interview Kevin Colbert did back at the league meetings with Mike Florio, talking about Ben Roethlisberger and a contract extension, the way Kevin Colbert answered that question really made me think even more that there's a possibility that the team, if the right situation came about, would draft a quarterback. They went and studied, obviously, Lamar Jackson at his pro day and Mason Rudolph at his pro day. You and I joke. I don't know. That episode Thursday, David, might go down a segment there where we talked about Mike Tomlin looking. Was he making
Googly eyes.
Googly eyes at both or at James Washington through around. Maybe both of them were in his line of sight then. Look, I like the quarterback. I think overall he is probably a second round graded quarterback, but so was Jimmy Garoppolo. Okay, I'm not going to try to compare the two. We've already talked about the Parcells and that seven checklist that goes along with that. He can stretch the ball down the field. Look at his stats. He's not just a college system guy either. I like the pick. I like him. I think this is going to be, regardless of what happens with him, I think this is going to be kind of a great case study for down the line when it comes to evaluating quarterbacks in the current college system trying to transition in into the NFL. Now, let's just throw out,
I know you inferred it without saying it, is Oklahoma State doesn't run a very complex offense. So let's be clear about that. So for both these guys, it's going to be a change. Obviously, it's going to be a bigger change for Mason Rudolph in terms of just understanding everything and you know, having to do things. But it's going to be a transition for James Washington as well. There are a lot of college teams that run more sophisticated styles than some of the schools in the Big 12, where, you know, you line up on one side, you're going to run, you know, maybe three different routes, you know, all season long. And, you know, the quarterback looks at the sideline at the board and, you know, he calls the play and everybody's looking over at the sideline and they see the play. And it's a simplistic thing. Louisville runs a much more sophisticated offense than Oklahoma State. And it's just, you know, it's something to watch with the transition here as we go forward. It's not, even though these guys are older guys and you know, have more college experience, it's going to be just as big a step for them as it might be for a younger guy.
Now, am I, you know, I've admitted this several times, I have bias when it comes to the quarterback position to the big-bodied guys. I mean, I've followed Ben Roethlisberger since 2004. How can I not? At least I admit what my bias is, and we'll go back to a couple drafts ago. I like Blake Bortles coming out, okay? Because of that same bias. And I am not, you know, if there's one position that and that's extremely hard to evaluate, it's definitely the quarterback position. Probably the Steelers would tell you that as well, too, and what a crucial position it is. But for what he is, talking about Mason Rudolph, for what the Steelers like to do right now with their offense, all the other intangibles that go along with it, I like the pick. Now we'll see. Is he going? Look, at worst, you got your backup quarterback for the next 4 years. Landry Jones will be his contract
after this year. So let's talk about this for a second. So Mason Rudolph's going to make the football team, period. So right now, you know, two quarterbacks who are going to be on the football team. Landry Jones has 1 year left on his contract. You have to I think that Landry Jones is going to make the football team because if Ben Roethlisberger goes down in week two, Landry Jones is going to be your quarterback. Now, there's no doubt about that. Mason Rudolph's not going to be your quarterback if Ben were to get hurt in week two. So I don't see a scenario where Landry Jones doesn't make the team. So that means Josh Dobbs. There are two things here. Now, Josh Dobbs is eligible for the practice squad, I'm pretty sure. With the new eligibility rules, he could potentially be on the practice squad. And the reason I bring that up is you would say normally, you know, the Steelers aren't going to be in that situation. But because Landry Jones is 28, 29, he's in the second year of a two-year deal, which I loved the contract the Steelers gave him. If you're able to get Josh Dobbs to the practice squad, it means you don't have to re-sign Landry Jones. If you aren't and Josh Dobbs gets claimed on waivers – and you have Landry Jones, you're going to have a very interesting offseason decision about what you want to do. And you may find yourself drafting a quarterback again. Now, all this is predicated on how does this year of practice go for Mason Rudolph and what do you see? But, you know, would you turn the reins over in 2019 if Ben got injured? Would you feel comfortable turning the reins over to him? Or do you say, look, I'm going to re-up 2 more years with Landry Jones? And, you know, eventually it may be a Charlie Batch situation where, you know, he goes from number two to number three. But we're just going to keep Landry Jones around at $3 million a year because we know what he is. And if we need to play a game or two because Ben sprains his ankle, he is adequate. He's just adequate. And that's fine. But if you get Dobbs to the practice squad, maybe you can say you don't have to do that. So I think that it's very interesting to think about now how the QB position is going to evolve over the next 2 years. Well, I think what you would expect to happen is in 2019, Mason Rudolph is the backup quarterback. I don't think he will be the number two quarterback at any point in time on the depth chart this season.
You know that story that I told you about 2004 a couple of weeks ago? You got this thing will magically find a way to work itself out, I have a feeling. Just like it did in 2004, the Steelers had three quarterbacks under contract in Tommy Maddox, in Charlie Batch, and in Brian St. Pierre, who, by the way, they drafted the year prior in 2003 in what, the fifth round there. And that's why you was, people were kind of scratching their head just a little bit when Roethlisberger, where you know, one of these people don't belong, and you know that. That three of them probably do. Well, Charlie Batch had a knee injury, during right around training camp. That ended up with him being on IR. That left you with three quarterbacks. The Steelers wound up only keeping two because Ben Roethlisberger playing so well during the preseason and all. Brian St. Pierre, 1 year after he was drafted, was released, and then he wound up back on the practice squad, and then ended up, I think, back on the on the 53-man roster due to an injury. You know, once Tommy Maddox got hurt there, so with the elbow injury, once Ben took over, then so this will magically find a way to work itself out. Here's what you do. I know people are going to suggest, well, go ahead and, you know, why the hell did you draft Joshua Dobbs and spend a fourth round draft pick last year? That makes that pick look stupid. Now I get it. Hey, I get it. You know, you don't have to sell that to me, but here's the thing. People probably say, well, why not trade Landry now? Why not trade Joshua Dobbs now? Look back at what happened during 2004, and that's a good reason not to trade any of these guys.
And let's be very clear. There's no market for either of those guys. Nobody's going to give you anything for Josh Dobbs, Landry Jones, if your first two quarterbacks go down and you're desperate, you might give something up for Landry Jones, but you're not getting a 29-year-old guy who's a serviceable backup who's got a little experience with no upside. You're not giving anything up for that. So
no. So you carry the four throughout the offseason. And look, maybe Landry has a great preseason. Maybe Rudolph does enough that you have confidence that he could be your number two. And then maybe a quarterback goes down, you know, for a starter, and people say, look, you know, Landry has started a few games, and you know, he's not in the awful category anymore. So maybe you are able to get a fifth or a fourth or something because a team's quarterback goes down. So
who's not on the 53-man roster on opening week?
Wow. Man, I see where you're coming from with Landry Jones. You odds tell you to go with Dobbs right now. I mean, but I'll put this out here. If Rudolph plays well enough, David, if he plays well enough during the preseason training camp, and you feel like he could be your backup this year, and if Dobbs gives you anything better than what he did last year during,
I don't think there's any chance that Mason Rudolph is the number two quarterback coming out of St. Vincent. No chance.
Right, and there's a good chance. Look, I mean, the Steelers didn't think that, you know, Colbert has even said, you know, just this last week that Roethlisberger was going to be the number three that year, 2004.
Right.
You know, and so if he was going to be the number three, that means Charlie Batch was the number two, Tommy Maddox the number one. Oh my, how that turned out there. So yeah, I think logically looking at this, you would have to think it goes Ben, Landry, Rudolph, and then Dobbs gets cut and goes to the practice squad, barring injury or whatnot. You know, I'm not going to speak in absolutes about that, though, because if Rudolph does give you enough, I could see a scenario, and if there's an injury around the league or whatnot, and they come calling for Landry Jones, I can potentially see a scenario, something similar to that.
Okay, so, you know, we'll have plenty of the offseason to be talking about, you know, how these guys look and what's going on and what the deal is. The interesting thing will obviously be at the end of the 2018 season, is Landry Jones in the Steelers' plans going forward? Has Rudolph shown enough that he doesn't have to be? Is Josh Dobbs a member of the Steelers organization on September 5th, 2018? That's open to question. Is he on the practice squad? If Josh Dobbs makes it to the practice squad, a lot less likely that Landry Jones gets another contract. If he doesn't, then the Steelers, you know, they'll obviously be well-suited. You know, we're looking way down the road here, but they'll be well-suited to keep him around. And then you have your high upside guy. You have a guy you know can come in and play a game or two for you. And you have Ben, who, again, you know, we talk about at least the conversation. Thank God we've gotten past the conversation of, you know, is Ben going to be around next year? Now Randy Fietner is talking about 4 to 6 years. So, you know. We'll see how that goes.
And look, it's absolutely great. Look, nobody's saying that. Look, if Ben keeps playing at the same level, maybe he does play 6 more years. Okay, maybe he does play out the 3 more years. Maybe he plays 4 years, and then the Steelers have to decide if they want to, get themselves in a Jimmy Garoppolo situation the way the Patriots did. What a great problem that will be. But what if he only plays 3 more seasons? He's only under contract for 2 more. If he's still playing good, let's suppose now that Ben does not get a contract extension. Okay. Before the start of this year, then you really have to decide, are you going to give him a contract extension before the final year next year? Maybe not. And then if he continues to play, let's say Ben wins a Super Bowl 2 years in a row, 2018 and 2019, enjoy the parades, everybody. Then you franchise tag Ben, right?
Now we're getting into some esoteric stuff. I don't know.
If that happens,
you're gonna give Ben whatever he wants, and you're gonna make a deal. So who knows?
Okay, are you at least gonna take your hat off and hand it to me for?
Yeah, of course. And you're gonna hand it to Ben too, with a lot of money in it.
No, but take your hat off and hand it to me, being consistent on the Rudolph talk all off season.
Yes.
The final pick. Look, Chukwuma Okorafor. How did I do? Okorafor. Chukwuma Okorafor, a tackle out of Western Michigan. David, I've only watched just a little. I mean, just last night, just a little bit on him. He was a guy at the Senior Bowl. So keep that in mind. He was a semi-finalist for what was it? What trophy's the offensive line? Is it the Outland?
Outland's interior lineman. Yeah.
The trophy award for the offensive lineman. He was a semi-finalist for that. Big boy. Great size. I think he started off originally his first year as a right tackle and then had to switch over to left tackle. Mike Munchak. What's funny is Mike Munchak says he hasn't never even talked to the guy outside. And all he's done is watched his tape so far. But like I said, this kid was at the pro. I mean at the Senior Bowl. They envisioned him as being a left and right tackle, you know, being able to play both positions there. He is a developmental guy, playing and period, but you got a third round pick on him, so you're probably going to make the 53-man roster. So Matt Filer, sorry, and then we'll see what happens potentially maybe with Gerald Hawkins as well. But you got another guy in the mix there. I got to admit, I'm a little surprised they did pick up a tackle in the first 3 rounds. I thought if they were going to do it, an offensive lineman, I kind of thought maybe you'd do it a guard and you do it a little bit later in the draft here. So, yeah, I was a bit surprised about the selection of Chukwuma, but here we are, and now we'll have to sit back and try to watch a lot of tape, and I hope to have more on him in coming podcast.
I have, you know, completely understand everybody's, what's the right word? This was, this, you know, to me.
Go ahead and say it.
Look, I don't know anything about the player, so I'm not going to evaluate the player. Because, look, I'm not, you know, you've only watched a little bit of tape. I never heard of the guy before last night. So I'm not going to pretend to know anything about him. I think Ramon Foster's maybe not going to be on the team next year. Okay, you have that situation. The book is out on Alejandro Villanueva. The book is also out on Gerald Hawkins. You know, again, he was a fourth round pick. We don't know anything about him. It's just, look, IR his whole first year. Last year, we didn't see him at all. So who knows? He was a young guy. He was a developmental guy. Look, you always want to have a strong offensive line, and the Steelers have had a good offensive line. They got a great offensive line coach. Okay. Just kind of wave my hand over all that and say, good God, though, where the hell are the linebackers? Where are the linebackers? Where the hell are the linebackers? They need linebackers.
Yeah, and we'll see if they get one today, David. You want to talk, Kevin Colbert, Mike Tomlin, talk about, not being here. I don't want to run too much longer on this, getting into talking about things that Colbert said during the offseason, but he said this was not an impactful linebacker class. And boy, his words right now, the way at least we would think that they would look at, this year's class and the options and positions that they need, it looks like it's kind of played into this. Now, there are guys out there, and Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin talked about specialization and stuff like that. Jannard Avery out of Memphis is still on the board as this day three starts. You want a guy that you can play around with, that has upside. I think it's him, but is he going to make it through the fourth round where the Steelers don't have a pick right now? You would probably have to trade up into the fourth round to get him. Shaquem Griffin if he's there in the fifth, do you roll the dice with this kid just to see what you have? Or is it just too much of a, too much of a question mark there with him?
Yeah, I think we know they're done trading, right? They're going to take their picks. I'd be surprised if they traded up for anything here. So, the Le'Veon Bell situation now becomes a little bit more intriguing. It wasn't mandatory the Steelers drafted a running back at the top of this draft. And I still don't think a contract's going to get done with Bell. And, maybe they have all the confidence in the world in James Conner. But if a contract doesn't get done with Bell, obviously running back's going to be a top two round pick next year. Again, you got to think linebacker's going to be, a huge focus. I would assume today's going to go linebacker, running back, linebacker. That would be my guess.
You would think defensive heavy now, right? But
yep.
Here's some names for you. Agbanye Okoroko out of Oklahoma, that undersized pass rusher. Jeff Holland out of Auburn. Joe Osman, a edge rusher out of Central Michigan. Bilal Nichols. Bilal Nichols could be a Steeler here around round five, either him or Greg Gilmore, maybe in round seven. We talked about Jannard Avery. If you look at linebackers, you have to think Jannard Avery, Shaquem Griffin, Matthew Thomas out of FSU is another guy. High, sparky number guy. A little bit older, will turn 23. You want a dark horse today, Matthew Thomas out of FSU. The Steelers also brought in that inside linebacker out of Western Kentucky, as they did with Jermaine Carter Jr. out of Maryland. That's another name to watch. Kalen Ballage, if you want to talk about running backs, Steelers running backs coach James Saxon was at the Arizona State Pro Day. You want another wide receiver late, Russell Gage out of LSU, who I've talked a lot about. Cornerbacks, look, the two undersized ones that the Steelers are probably going to have interest in, Avante Maddox and Grant Haley out of Penn State, are two names to watch in round five or round seven maybe. And if you want a tight end that can block, Durham Smythe out of Notre Dame and Troy Fumagalli out of Wisconsin are both Senior Bowl participants that are kind of more of your classic blocking tight ends that'll give you some special teams work. I really like Fumagalli as well. Here's one thing for everybody listening to this podcast, and by the time you listen to it, the draft will probably be over. But the Steelers like these college all-star game guys on day three. So when we get together and talk again, David Todd, on Tuesday, it'll be interesting to go back and see how many of these day three guys were college all-star game guys. And, oh, three of their four picks already in this draft were kids that were invited to the Senior Bowl. Obviously, the only one that wasn't was the underclassman in Edmonds. So that should get everybody ready for day three.
All right, good stuff. I seized on James Washington when we were throwing names around. I don't know enough about any of those guys to give any good thoughts. But again, linebacker, running back, linebacker. That's where I expect to see the Steelers headed today. Interesting, certainly an interesting and I wouldn't say head scratching, but a very interesting talking points from the Steelers' activity in day two.
It's all right to say head scratching. There are a lot of Steeler fans probably right now scratching.
Let's just say this. We know the analysts are not going to give the Steelers high grades on their draft.
I don't know. It seems like every year they get a B. Hey,
they're going to get a C this year.
I'd like to make a prediction, David. The Steelers will not draft a long snapper in day three.
Yeah, good. Holba, they will not have a repeat of Holba. I'm with you. Good call.
All right, thank you. I really went out on a limb with that one. In the meantime, David Todd, appreciate your time. Alex Cazora will be with me on Sunday recapping the draft. Tonight we'll be tracking the undrafted free agents. That's always an exciting couple of hours as well. David Todd will hopefully be back with me on Tuesday. David, enjoy the rest of your weekend down there in the state of Texas. People, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast at gmail.com. Dave, we got a lot of donations the other day. Thank you, thank you, thank you, those of you who donated. We certainly do appreciate it. David put out the call, and you guys really came through. We certainly do appreciate that. I would like to take my hat off and hand it to all of you listeners there. David, have a great weekend, brother.
Enjoy day three. As always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.